for We Talk Comics, Show 11, Death Becomes Us. I'm joined once again this week by the four Horsemen of Apocalypse. At least it will be, as far as this podcast is concerned. I have with me the We Talk Comics rock star, Brett. How are you doing?
Ooh, can I be Death?
No, you're the rock star.
I'm the rock star. You're the We Talk. How is that a four Horsemen of the Apocalypse?
Well, hey, look, of the four of us, you're the closest to a rock star. And how are you doing?
Fair enough. I'm pretty good.
All right.
I think so.
I also got with me the We Talk Comics shooting star. That would be Keith. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mo. I want to be War.
You want to be War? All right.
Everybody wants to be War. Brett got to choose first, though.
Yeah, we're skipping Pestilence and Famine.
Pestilence and Famine. Well, nobody's ever accused me of being Famine.
You must be Pestilence.
Also with us one more time back. I'm very happy to be joined by the We Talk Comics porn star, Chris.
Hi, how you doing? Porn star. Never been called that before. I got the cock for it, though.
Well, I didn't say it.
Oh, we lost that PG really early.
Hey.
So, okay, Mo, I'm going to count you down.
I didn't say it wasn't gay porn. Anyways, I'm Mo once again, yes, and I'm in no way anything close to a star. So we're going to, as we say, it's Death Becomes Us. We're into October. We're going to hit some themed shows for the October Halloween month, and we're going to open it up by talking deaths in comics, a series of topics regarding it. We're going to open up with best storyline deaths in comics. And I'm going to throw out first guy here, once again, Brett.
Just for myself, like one of the best storyline deaths in comics was, and I know we've talked about it before, the death of Kraven. I love the story.
How did I not have that on my list? Holy crap.
I do not know, and I'm actually shocked because I expected to be taking it off of your list. Now, I mean, I think it's one of those awesome stories that really delves into Spider-Man, delves into Kraven, and, you know, it just wraps up all nicely and gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling if any death is going to do that.
Yeah, you know, for me, I think that's one of the books that shows the potential of the medium at its highest level. What do you guys think about that death? Brett throwing it out, he's opening up with a grand slam home run right off the bat here. Keith?
That was on my list, yeah. That was, it's one of my all-time favorite comic book stories. I don't know how many times I've purchased that story, and I seem to give it away or leave the trade somewhere. And the last time I was kicking around a store, and I have trouble going into a comic store without buying something. And I looked at the shelf, and like, I don't currently have a copy of Kraven's Last Hunt. That's what today is then. And every time I read that story, I get something more out of it. The art is beautiful. Some of the best work that Zach ever did. And just an amazing book. Amazing story. And, yeah.
Anything?
I want to read it again right now.
Yeah, let's stop recording.
No. We have to have a small break here while we all read Kraven's Last Hunt.
Yeah, there'll be a little bit of elevator music, and then we all come back.
Chris?
How would you guys rate Soul of the Hunter, the kind of thematic follow-up?
Sort of a poor man's version, if you ask me. It was close, but still, if I'm going to read something, I'm going to go straight to Kraven's Last Hunt.
I feel like I need to put this on my reading list for tomorrow now, because I just you said it, and I almost see the cover for like the trade or something, but I really don't recall. Brett's holding it up right now. He's holding up his heart.
Oh, he's got the hardcover.
He's got the hardcover. I own that one too. It's awesome. It's one of the ones you love. Mine is probably also used to be a hardcover. Like actually, this. There's a good chance.
Can I trade you a softcover back for that, Brett?
Yeah, great stuff. Okay, Keith, it's your show.
No,
you're the lead horse on this next death. Throw it out. Best storyline.
My all-time favorite, and I know a couple of others might be knocking this off of their pre-list, but Death of Superman. Just the whole storyline of from Death through, particularly through World Without Superman, which I put up as, you know, one of the 10 best stories I've ever read. It's, if you don't cry when Pa Kent has a heart attack, there's something wrong with you.
Actually,
your soul.
That is a good question, though. I mean, when you talk about this, do you talk about everything from the death through the return, or is it just the death? Because to me, I mean, the moment where Lois is holding in that splash page and holding a beautifully rendered page, holding a broken and beaten Superman who's dead in her arms, and that was the picture that was taken by Jimmy Olsen. And to me, that moment when I read it, I didn't realize how much it would hit me, how much a death of a comic book character could actually get to me. I still recall that night.
Yeah, and I think to me it's the whole package, because that was a really good story. But once you put in World Without Superman and that idea of what is this world really like? And we talked about this a few weeks ago.
What about the return?
What is this? Yeah, what is this world? Yeah, and I mean, Reign of Superman has its issues. It's a clunky. It's a lot of, it's a dense read. It's paced kind of strange. But it's that time where all of the heroes react to this core of superheroes, the core of their whole universe is gone. And on how it affects people on a small level too, like on the, you know, there's the giant funeral and the big procession of superheroes in costume. But then there's Ma and Pa Kent who go to the ceremony and can't tell anyone what they're going through because they can't tell anyone who Superman really was.
You want to weigh in on this one at all, Chris?
I think Keith summed it up best, yeah. Actually. I was sort of against him at first because I wouldn't have included A World Without Superman as part of his death. But really, those issues were all about mourning and really touching. And that definitely does count. So.
Before I get Brett's opinion, just to sum it up here, didn't they shut down completely publishing it before coming out with World Without for a little while after Superman died? Or didn't they go like a month or a couple months without publishing any Superman book and then come back to it?
No, it was between World Without and Reign of Superman that they took the break.
That's perfect.
They went right into World Without Superman.
Okay.
Or Funeral for a Friend, as it was called at the time, but they've changed that title in the packaging.
Okay. Brett, any comments?
You know, ultimately, I totally agree. It's one of those great storylines. It's an iconic story arc because it was such an enormous death for the media within the media as well that, you know, it really took comics and it put them to a whole nother level. It put them, you know, right in the stratosphere. So
As far as a media marketing stunt, nothing before and nothing since has ever matched that, and or likely ever will. 52 of the number ones, as much mainstream publicity as it's gotten, and other things have gotten, and you know, nothing's like that.
Well, it's the total package. It has the media, and you can say that, oh well, I don't necessarily respect it for the media coverage and stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is, it's so well done that I think you have to include it.
Yeah, and if it hadn't been well done, how much of a disaster? They really took a chance. It was the gutsiest move, damn gutsy. I'm going to get back to that thing, actually, because in one of our other categories, but I think let's just cut it off here as far as the Superman story, and we will get back to it because it looked like Keith had something else to say, but I'll get there. Chris, you get your next one.
Well, I'm going with an obvious one, a more recent one, Captain America. I love this the storyline that brought about his death. I thought it was done appropriately, and it was a surprise. It just sort of happened. Boom. And I enjoyed it. What else can I say?
You know, I've heard excellent things about it, but I haven't had a chance to read it myself yet. Brett, Keith, either one of you two?
I mean, it's a great run. There's no question about it. I mean, I'm definitely a fan of the Brubaker Captain America. And, of course, Steve Epting's art really, really helps define the death of Captain America in that case. I did think of putting it on. I just ultimately thought that my number one problem with the death, and I mean, I can say the same thing for Superman, is that ultimately I expect them to come back. So it almost is like their death has to be so good, like in the case of Superman, for me to truly respect it, because otherwise I really know that oh, I know Steve Rogers is coming back. It's just a question of when.
Who knew they'd screw it up so badly?
Well, I mean, but that maybe that pulls into it a little bit too. If they did, all right, it's my turn. I'm gonna go off the board a little
the
bit
reservation.
Here. Yeah, the board, the reservation, the deck, whatever you want to say. Gene DeWolf. I thought this was if you guys will recall, and those people who aren't familiar, Jean DeWolf was a minor character in Spider-Man. She was a lieutenant, I believe, or a captain, something like that, in the police force. I believe a lieutenant. But she was somebody that Spider-Man kind of had a flirtatious relationship with, and she appeared to be a potential girlfriend. But she was not a character with a lot of depth. She was killed in the Sin Eater storyline with Peter David. And in doing so, he gave her this backstory of how she became this tough police officer, filled in the character, and gave her more depth than she had when she was an actual person. And I think Jean DeWolf is one of the best deaths in comic books. Any of you three have anything to say on that?
I can't believe I forgot that story. As you're talking about it, just I remember, there's that trade paperback that I think it's only 4 issues in it, but it's... it's one of the must-haves. It was in a time that character deaths were so much rarer than they are now. It mattered that, and because she wasn't superpowered, you didn't have that feeling of, well, there's going to be, Superboy's going to punch the time wall and they're going to come back, kind of solution. She's a regular person. There's no second act for her.
All right. I think that sums it up well. Keith. Brett, go ahead.
All right. Now, this next one for me is one of the most impactful death issues, and in fact, final issues of a series that I've ever read. Like, it was, again, very early on, maybe even the first time that I've really experienced death in comics in my early days. It's the Adrian Chase Vigilante, issue number 50, when he committed suicide. I mean, it was just one of those moments where, like, the end of the book happens, and you're just like, holy shit.
And this is a character you're probably, you loved, like Keith loves Booster Gold. That's part of the thing as well, right? I mean, this is one of your all-time favorite characters.
Yeah, I mean, he was a really well-done character. I mean, he had some, Alan Moore wrote a couple of issues on that series, and I mean, they were, again, fantastic. But most people don't think about him, and he's not coming back. Which is probably also good.
And suicide. I mean, a hero committing suicide, that just doesn't happen. I mean, that's something else. Definitely. I'm sure some of the listeners are thinking much like me here. That's a couple stories now I need to go back and read. Either one of you two have anything to say about Adrian Chase Vigilante's death?
I think it's a highly underrated run. I love the series. I kind of wish they'd leave the character dead. I know they're not bringing him back, but every 5 or 6 years they decide to try to resurrect some sort of vigilante. We should just leave the run as it is and collect it in paperback, in trade paperback.
One big phone book would be nice.
One big phone book would be nice.
Gorgeous.
Or just make it available digitally, because it's one of those things that's lost otherwise, so that's important. All right, Keith, you got the next. You got the next go here.
All right. Well, this was a storyline that it's not one I'll go back and read, but it was hugely, hugely impactful for me when I did read it. G.I. Joe number 109. Does it come back to anyone besides
Brett?
No.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
As the sales started to flag on G.I. Joe, they wanted to shake things up, and they had always kept the book quite PG, same as the cartoon that there'd be giant explosions and then everyone kind of walks around dizzy. And there's a plot point in G.I. Joe 109 where a whole bunch of Joes have been captured by Cobra, and Cobra Commander says, yeah, just get rid of them, meaning let them go because we don't want prisoners and we don't want the Joes coming after us, etc. And a couple of the characters misinterpret this to be an order to kill them. And something like 7 or 9 named Joe characters that there are action figures of were killed. And this set off a storyline where a lot of characters from both sides end up getting killed because the stakes have suddenly changed, that it's, you don't just capture them and then they escape and everything's okay. It really raised the stakes of the book. It was starting to be the end of that run, and it needed to be shaken up. But I remember at the time, you know, having read that book for, you know, 8-9 years, I guess that would have been at the time, it was such a change in the book.
Ooh. Chris, anything to add to that? Or?
Yeah, they did the exact same thing in the Transformers movie, which I, has nothing to do with anything, killing all the main characters in the first 5 minutes of that movie. I remember as a kid being quite shocked by that. I don't remember the G.I. Joe Larry Hama stuff as well as I should. But, yeah, no, just thought I'd mention it. Thematically, it seemed appropriate.
Okay, you've mentioned it. Now Brett can cut it out in editing. Brett, go ahead. Brett.
You know, it's funny because I think that there's two ways of looking at the G.I. Joe deaths at the end. There's that because I actually had G.I. Joe on my list, but in another category, just because of the way that some of it was written. So I'm going to save my part of G.I. Joe till later.
Okay, sounds good. Chris, you got the next best storyline death, if you have any left.
The Captain America Red Skull.
Doesn't that count
his
in the same
original
thing?
Death?
Or didn't he?
Sorry?
Didn't he die? Was it in the same storyline, or did he have another storyline where he died?
He had another storyline early in the Brenner run. Red Skull died and was gone until the early 90s. From about 85 to 90, Red Skull was gone. Red Skull captures Captain America, and for one final showdown, Red Skull at this time is an elderly man, and he wants to die in the death throes of his worst enemy. And it happens that way.
Everybody has a look on their face going, I would remember this. And we
don't. I think it's Captain America 200, isn't it?
I believe it is, actually.
Right around, I don't know if it's right at the beginning of Grunwald's run, but right before it. But yeah, I know the one you mean, yeah.
Yeah,
well before Capwolf.
It was yeah, well before
Capwolf. It's before the glory days of Capwolf, that's right. Before the golden age of Captain America.
And I believe it was only a 2 or 3 issue story arc. But they did keep the Red Skull dead for quite a while after that.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's a good one, you know what?
Good call.
Yeah, nice. I'm going to throw out obvious, the granddaddy of them all, Captain Marvel. The fact that they took a character who was a hero and one of the major, a major character, Captain Marvel within the Marvel Universe, not the other Captain Marvel, just to clarify, in case anyone's not familiar. They took this character and he wasn't killed in a glorious moment. He didn't have a death battle. Cancer killed him. A real world disease that killed a superhero at a time when this disease was probably at its height in public consciousness as well, culturally. So, and it's incredibly well done. The art is beautiful. The last scene where all the heroes are standing over the memorial of Captain Marvel is really emotionally impactful. One of the most emotionally impactful moments, I think, you can have in comic books.
I had this one on my list, but I knew it was on your list, so I wanted to let you talk about it. It is the granddaddy of them all. I do wonder, my bit cynical moment thinking about this story was, it's 1982 that happened. I did wonder if it kind of kicked off the superhero dying.
It did. Superman put it into the next level, but it kicked it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Crisis with Barry Allen and Supergirl who died in Crisis.
Yeah, that's right.
It's only a couple of years later. And yeah, it's...
The difference
it
is
became
that
a
he's
way
another
to
character
really
that they
sense.
Haven't brought back. I mean, in a way, they sort of did in that they brought back a younger version into the future who still was going to die. And that way they had him around for a little while and they had a new storyline with him. But truthfully, he's a character who's died and was a poignant death and they haven't really brought him back. You know, and that's something else too. I mean, we're closing in on what, 30 years here?
Well, I think one of the things that I'd like to bring up about that is the fact is just in the way they killed him. Like, oftentimes with superheroes, the way they kill them, you can tell that it's one of those fashions that you can like, oh, okay, you know, like, killed by some beast, but they have super healing, kind of, yada yada. But when you talk about cancer and that kind of thing, I mean, it is, like, nobody else has ever died of cancer from that I can remember, so, yeah. in superhero world.
No. Chris, anything to add on that one?
Yeah, although I truly love the graphic novel, Captain Marvel, the issues before that, the Captain Marvel series, is fairly unremarkable. I can't say it was a surprise that they killed him. It was a surprise they killed him so well and gave him his due, unlike most characters who die where they don't. But they've never had any motivation to bring him back because he wasn't that popular of a character. His death is more popular than the actual character is.
Yeah, it's a bit of the Barry Allen thing for that. I mean, he became kind of Marvel's Barry Allen, where it was more important that he died and then you could talk about him as this ideal hero afterward. It was more important than any kind of, than a lot of what the character had been used for quite a long time.
Okay, so I don't start an argument regarding death things. I'm just going to leave this alone to some degree here. Brett, do you have any remaining?
I have a couple remaining.
Okay.
One of the ones that I love the death of is I love the death at the end of Watchmen of Rorschach. It's just one of those moments where it's really quite surprising that it happens, and I just think that, but it also has to happen, and so when you see it, you know, and it's just kind of one of those moments for me that I'm like, wow, this book, you know, it's the best. All right, the last one that I would put on my list of favorites is, you know, and I might be the only one who's read this, but in Fables, there's a moment near the one issue 100 where Boy Blue dies, and you know the character starts out really, yeah. The character starts out really low key, but he becomes such an integral part of the story arc as it progresses within, and I just find the way that they developed his character to be so good that when he died, it was a really emotional moment for me.
Anything else, Brett?
No, I'll leave that. I mean, I've got other things for later.
For later, okay. Other great storylines that you thought, Keith? Any clean up anything you have left?
I'll do two more. Gwen Stacy. One of the very, very early deaths in comics. And it just raised the stakes for Spider-Man in so many ways. It informed that character for decades and the relationship between he and his villains in a way that, you know, the bystanders were never, they were, you know, tied up by, and captured by the villains, etc., but they were never on the block that way. People that were related to them in their secret identity life were never in danger the way that Gwen Stacy was.
Okay, go ahead. Anything else?
Cerebus.
Mm-hmm. We all knew it was coming.
300 issues, it's the life story, and it ends the way it has to end.
Well, it ends in a way that is, let's say, it is proper for that character. He was a prick, and he got a prick's death.
You will die alone, unmourned and unloved.
Yeah. Yeah, it was something else. It was something else. That's good stuff. Chris, any final deaths you think were best storylines?
Yeah, I can't believe we haven't mentioned Elektra yet. I mean, Elektra died died. And
she died. Like a year and a half. She was gone.
Yeah. Elektra died, and really it's motivated Daredevil for the next 25 years.
Okay. Any other ones, Chris?
No.
Okay. I'm going to put in Jean Grey. I think that was one of the, I think I'm just going to throw that out there. I think that was a good one. The first one? Phoenix. Actually, Death of Phoenix. Yeah, the Death of Phoenix storyline, I think, was one of the better ones. The final issue of Power Man and Iron Fist died. In it, he died by, there was a young boy who had been introduced earlier who had a terminal disease that gave him superpowers but was killing him, and they've been trying to cure him for a while. And then, the character was around. When we knew that they were going to cancel the series, all of a sudden they decided that it was a double-sized issue, and the entire issue was Iron Fist essentially sitting by this boy's bedside and using his chi to keep this boy alive, to the point where he gave up his own life force to keep this boy alive, who still died. And in doing so, because Power Man was also in the room, he was blamed for the death. And so now you had this potential storyline of him again being hounded as a criminal, which they never fulfilled. But the storyline itself, you didn't see, they didn't build it up that you would think Iron Fist was dying. You didn't know it going into the issue, and then they did it. It was really well done and a real big surprise. So I'm going to throw that out there. Thor, the final Thor storyline, Ragnarok storyline that was just from a few years ago, was fantastic. Possibly the best run of art I've ever seen in my entire life, and it was a really good storyline. I've never been a huge Thor fan, but that's one I'll recommend. And one last one I'm going to give out that deserves its due, I believe. Fred Wilson. If you recall Fred Wilson, the nephew of the Falcon, he was one of Hulk's sidekicks, kind of after Rick Jones. He was a little bit more the sidekick who was Rick Jones, Hulk was always saving. This was the sidekick who almost was always saving Hulk. He was the smarter one and responsible. He died of AIDS during Peter David's run, HIV positive, died of AIDS, again, at a time when that was really at the forefront of pop culture and society, and the impact of AIDS was as near its height, handled incredibly well by Peter David. Not a huge character, not a character that was around a long time. It's about the way the death was handled, portraying the disease that was so well. So I'm going to throw that out there. All right, let's move on here to the final, the next category. Brett, let's talk about deaths where it was a good thing that the company decided to kill off a character. Not best storylines, but deaths in the fact that these deaths happened, and we're glad that the powers that be, the editorial powers, decided to kill off that character. Who have you got?
Well, I don't have a lot, but I guess one of the ones that I have in that category is somebody that Keith's already thrown out, and I would put Gwen Stacy in that.
Yeah.
Because, like he said, it was just, it impacted so much of Spider-Man's universe that I have to say that it was a good thing for him, because, I mean, it also brought him into Mary Jane and, you know, instigated their marriage and stuff like that. So I think that, and it's also a great storyline, but it's a really important moment, and so I am very glad that it happened. Now, I'm not happy about all the other things that came afterwards, but you know,
we'll get there as well.
That's
another category. I also had Gwen Stacy on my best should have happened list here, so that's, yeah, I mean, it could have fit in either category. Keith, why don't you throw out one?
Yeah, I don't have a lot on this list either, but I'll say Jason Todd. They had played that character. It was an excellent story to finish. And it was an interesting bit of a stunt to have it be a vote, but in that way, it was fair. They had gone as far as they could with that character. It was a bit of a dead end. It didn't quite work. And I'm so glad that they've honored that story by not ever bringing Jason Todd back.
Well, you know what? If they hadn't,
that was important.
But if they hadn't brought Jason Todd back, who would have boned Starfire? Oh, wait. Apparently everyone else.
Everyone, yeah. The guy Harper. That was serving margaritas at that bar, actually, probably would have been next in line.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what Jason Todd will be mine.
All right. Chris, why don't you throw one out?
Okay. You guys took my two, but I am going to throw out a wild card. Bazooka in G.I. Joe Resolution. He just deserves to die. He wears a football jersey in battle situations.
I'm not familiar with the character, but I agree. It sounds like he needed to die.
And a red one at that.
I'm going to throw out one.
His specialty, the bazooka, and he wears a football jersey. not a good character.
You know what? If his and his name also is not Joe. And if it had been, it's G.I. Joe, Bazooka. But where was the gum? Anyways, Brett will put another Santa Crickets behind that one, bastard.
You suck.
Let's get to mine here. I'm going to throw one out. Best death that should have happened. Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben is the best death as far as an important death that meant something in comic book history. It defined an entire character and defined a different mindset of Marvel and its characters and its universe from DC in the early 60s. So Uncle Ben, I believe, is the best death that should have happened editorially ever. And a brave, brave move and well done. Brett?
Well, yeah, one of the things that I'm noticing is that Spider-Man comes up a lot in this case, and I think that they've shown really no fear in killing off important characters in the Spider-Man universe. Yeah. But another thing that I think that works really well for Spider-Man is that they also have a lot to keep offering,
mm-hmm.
even though I think they should have killed Aunt May.
Brett, leave it alone until we get there. All right, Brett, you get to throw out your next best death that should have happened.
I don't have another one.
You don't have another one. Keith, any more?
Well, actually, I had originally put Adrian Chase Vigilante in this category. It was the natural way for that series to end. There was no other way for that character to go. He was on a road. I would say Rising Stars, the entire cast of Rising Stars. It was a book about an isolated period where there were superheroes, but it was unrepeatable. And it was an interesting run for that it was about a time where there were heroes, there wouldn't be again, and there weren't before. And that series had to end in the way it did.
Yeah, it was brilliant as well, Straczynski. So, Chris, yours.
No, I'm done.
You're done. Okay, how about this one? Superman. Superman should have been killed because the point was that Superman's, the book, they were doing terrific quality. They had four core titles going at the time and were doing terrific quality. And the sales of Superman were at the point of all these books where if it wasn't Superman, these books would have been canceled. So the fact that they were able to do that death and do it so well, get such publicity, and all of a sudden people were, their eyes were open to the quality of these books, that's a death that should happen. Keith, you look like you have some thoughts on that.
Well, there's something I was going to bring up earlier. I was reading some backstory on Death Superman, how it came about. What actually happened was they were going to do the wedding of Clark and Lois in number 75, and the TV show was on at that point, and they said, we're not ready to do the wedding. We should do it at the same time. That was Lois and Clark.
Yeah, that worked out, too.
Yeah, and which ended up being the final episode of Lois and Clark is when the wedding actually happened. But they said that should happen paired up because the show was doing quite well at the time. So we need to buy about 2 years to get to that point. And I believe it was Jerry Ordway who just kept saying, every time they got into a spot, he would just say, well, we should just kill him. And this time, everyone around the room went, oh, maybe. And they did Death of Superman. It was supposed to be about a 4-month storyline. The World Without Superman ends with Adventures number 500, which is Jerry Ordway's final issue. And that was supposed to be the end where they actually brought Superman back. Death of Superman had such a huge impact that they all scrambled and said, we need to come up with this and stretch the storyline longer. So Ordway's last issue ends up being the promise of bringing Superman back, not actually bringing him back, and kicks off Reign of Superman. So it was interesting how the fan reaction is what made that story become much bigger, much grander than it had started off to be.
Okay. Keith, did you have any more to throw out here? I know the other two said they were... Am I the only one with it?
I think I'm good on this category. The other ones
I'm just going to throw out Barry Allen. Should have died where he died. It was a good decision. Because as Keith said before, he had more importance to the universe dead and to Wally and to the other characters, dead and alive. And Supergirl as well, at the time that they killed Supergirl in Crisis, was a good move, because what they wanted to do was establish again that Superman was important by being the only Kryptonian. And it obviously didn't last forever, but at the time that was really, really important to the relaunch and reboot of Superman. So those are two more I'm throwing out.
And it gave us that iconic cover as well.
The cover is amazing. George Perez and just, yeah, I mean, that again was a great moment because the art was so amazing in that issue. Well, yeah. Brett, worst death storylines where they killed somebody and it wasn't that it was a bad decision to kill them, it's that the execution, as far from a storyline standpoint, no pun intended, was not good enough.
Well, I think the one that for me kind of comes to mind is Hawkeye, because they killed him during the Avengers Disassembled storyline, and it almost felt like they decided to do it about 2 days in advance of writing the script. And despite the fact that they were kind of developing a burgeoning relationship with the Scarlet Witch, and so that was kind of where it, you know, like, that was supposed to give you the emotional impact from it. And then, of course, within House of M, which happened like four to six months later, Hawkeye from the House of M is there, and he's back in the regular universe. So, you know, it was just one of those, like, really? They killed him? Oh, why? Oh, okay. Whatever.
Not well done. Now, you know what? I think Avengers Disassembled, as a general rule, was a good storyline. The core title?
It's a really good story.
The core title itself? But, yeah, I mean, that, you have to wonder about this. Yeah, okay. Keith, go ahead. Yours?
I'm going to go with, because I was catching up on DC over the summer, so I read all the big events with, you know, I was reading them from they're a couple of years old, and now I'm reading them with some time having passed since them. I'm going to give a special award to Infinite Crisis and Final Crisis, because not a single person dies in those books that isn't completely pointless if you had seen the covers from, you know, DC's September books. Martian Manhunter dies, and it's a gigantic deal. I'm like, but I just saw him. Like, I know that this only lasts about a year and a half that he's gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, Superboy, yeah, he had a whole other title since he died in this book. And they turned death into such a cottage industry for, and it's, you got to ramp it up. The bad days of DC events, the sacrifice character was Blue Devil in Day of Vengeance, because you had to kill someone. And they're like, well, who are we using? Well, let's use Blue Devil. That'll bring the tears.
It did to me. It's one of my all-time favorite characters, bastard.
But I think in general, just because Crisis set the standard for events, the way that they've handled deaths in the events, none of them feel, even in the general terms comic book, deaths don't feel very permanent. But in the DC events, I can't bring myself to be in the least bit sad when a character dies, because it just feels so pointless.
I think we'll be coming back to this too in the next category a little bit for me, mm-hmm. because you brought up some points, but I don't have it in this one from a storyline perspective, but I do have it in a should never have happened perspective. So a few of those things that you just brought up. Chris, yours is worst storyline, worst written storylines for a character's death.
That's easy. This one is so incredibly bad. No one has ever actually referenced the death before, and it's of a major Marvel character. The Punisher. He died. Nobody noticed. They brought him back. In one of the worst storylines ever, they brought him back. And nobody's ever mentioned it in any other book outside of the Punisher continuity. It was truly horrible.
Keith, you look like you have something to add to this, because you're laughing like a mother.
Oh, I remember that story. And I didn't like Punisher very much growing up. So when they made this big deal about the death of Punisher, I bought it. And then he was back, like, you know, 3 pages later. I think it was a one bridging issue or something that he wasn't dead in.
And they turned it, and he was black for a issue too during that run.
Oh, that was those dark, terrible, terrible days. That's right. He had dyed his skin. He was hanging out with Luke Cage. And
oh, I remember that. Oh, next time we bring back
that was ugly.
Next time we bring back our semi-regular feature, burn this book. That might get in there. That was. Okay, I'm gonna. That was brutal. Worst storyline for me: the death of Hal Jordan. This to me, I thought
it took years. Oh my God, that took years.
But I'm talking about the actual death. See, it was in the Final Night miniseries, which I actually kind of enjoyed. But then the last issue, the first three issues, I can't remember what it is. The last issue where he dies, it falls apart. This character was somebody that everybody loved, and then they decided to make him evil. And there was backlash. So what they did then was they took this character who they had made into one of the major villains, maybe the top villain in the entire DC universe, Hal Jordan, and they decided to instead give him a conscience and make a last heroic effort to save the world, and that way he could go out as the hero. And it was just such, oh man, we pissed people off here. We got to do something to fix it. It was so forced and contrite and terrible. And I just...
But it gave him a chance to be the Spectre.
Yeah, that was good too. No, it just a terrible idea. You know, just...
Awful things they did to that character for years.
Yeah, I mean, this character, like I say, it just blows my mind that you didn't think people were going to be pissed off when he turned Hal Jordan into a murderer and then had him try and remake the entire universe. You didn't see that coming. So people are pissed off, and then you go, oh, man, they're not going to like Kyle Rayner as long as this guy's out there, and, you know, let's give him that heroic send-off, and then we can finally lay him to rest and move forward. Well, that didn't work either, because everyone's going, now you've killed him? Now you've – it was just a failure all around. Brett, you have any more?
Well, I think maybe I'll just talk about my feelings on G.I. Joe at this point, in that like this was the moment, like, and there is some really great deaths that occur around that time, but then around the same time was the Battle Force 2000, the really, really stupid space oriented team. And I think that by this point, Larry Hama was so sick of doing all these stupid characters that the toy line kept foisting on him, that with Battle Force 2000, I mean, I think they literally appeared for one issue, and they went up and exploded, and it was done, and then he started just this rash of like, hey, you're a crappy character. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead.
Did he figure out how to kill the Cobra Law in there, too? that made no sense.
I don't actually think that they ever even appeared in the comics. I think it was only in the horrifically bad G.I. Joe animated movie.
No, they were in one of the yearbooks. They were in yearbook three, I think.
That's right.
Larry Hama has actually gone on record stating in interviews is Ninja Force was where he snapped.
Yeah, Ninja Force was.
They made everyone a ninja. That's right. They needed like 10 ninjas.
Because the entire team, it was like, oh, it's Jinx, it's two other guys, it's Snake Eyes, it's Storm Shadow, it's like it's Scarlet, whoever we can find that can be a fucking ninja.
That's right, Scarlet was suddenly a ninja. Yes, I'm so happy.
Scarlet was suddenly a ninja, I forgot that.
Oh, Brett dropped it. Keith, you're still talking about ninjas? Brett dropped the F-bomb on the show. He lost, finally. Oh, that means I'm free to finally do it again.
Ninjas have. Every time you say it, I'll cut it out.
Yeah, that's fine. But you know what? I have to say, at least they came up with a good name like Ninja Force. Oh, jeez.
It's descriptive.
Yeah, terrible. All right, Keith, you got any more?
I don't even remember what we're talking about.
Written story.
How many times? I'm going to go with any time that Aunt May has died.
I thought it was just once.
She died like 187 times, I think it is now. Actually, she always gets like right close to death, and then at the end of the issue, she's like, oh my God, I think she's dead, and then she's not.
Yeah.
But yeah, just her and There's a bunch of the X-Men. I'm going to go with Anytime Professor X died as well. Because that's, I think that's probably the character that has died the most times.
Behind Jean Grey?
And I think, is he dead? He's dead right now, isn't he? Or is he, live again? I don't, I just read Schism and I still don't remember if he's alive right now.
I haven't caught up that far.
All right, Chris, any other ones?
I'm just going to assume that he's dead.
I'm going with the worst handled villain death of all time, Hobgoblin.
Oh, yeah.
They killed him in another title by accident.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Oh. Oh. Just
no, they killed him in Wolverine versus Superman, Spider-Man, I suppose. And no one consulted the editor that this character may be important to future coming storylines.
Yeah, ruined. They had been laying these plans in place for a long time. And, oh, yeah, that's a great one, Chris. Oh,
and then when they did finally one. Pick it up to explain it, then it was completely ridiculous. Standing over here.
I think we mentioned that storyline before. Was that Hobgoblin Unmasked, I think is his name. Right? Yeah, no one has any memory of that story.
Brutal. All right, I have a couple more, but I'm going to... I'll throw out one here. Oliver Queen, I think that his death was brutal. Chuck Dixon comes in, takes over, right away kills this character. Nobody sees it coming. They haven't built to us. This is one of the more important characters in the DC Universe, and they just killed him. Why don't you take care of a young guy? Like, there was not, at least Hal Jordan got a storyline. At least Superman got everyone gets a storyline. Well, except for Oliver Queen. He just, you know, he walks into a building, a bomb goes off, he's dead.
Maybe they killed Oliver Queen.
His young son, though. We have this young, good-looking guy. That's what people want. They want a young, good-looking guy to be a superhero. He's so. Don't worry, we still got a Green Arrow. Brutal, just terrible. Keith, any?
I think the flip side of the deaths, the resurrections, just Brightest Day, as like, you know, as I said, they've turned death into a cottage industry, but in you know, three pages they brought back. Just whoever they felt like they wanted this year.
I'm going to get there again later in the later in the podcast here. Chris, any more you have?
I got one for that.
Yeah, I got one more. Scourge of the Underworld. He was the character that Marvel brought in to sort of clean up some of the, let's say...
Dead weight?
Yeah, dead weight villains. And I followed him through multiple titles. He'd just show up, kill somebody. And then they make his death part of just another storyline, just he becomes dead weight too and they get rid of him. And he built up so much credit, he killed some major villains. I kind of wanted to see more and they just sort of throw it away.
Yeah, that's true. They could have done something with it. It wouldn't have been hard. That's the issue with that one, is that they just threw it away.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out one out there, Wonder Man, the first issue of Force Works. Just all of a sudden he goes up to the sky, something blows up, he's dead. And everybody keeps on walking around for a while going, when's he coming back? How long before? Like, it's Force Works. He died in Force Works. Nobody cares. It's no good. You know, he can't die. He's Wonder Man. He's made of energy or something anyways. It's just terrible. Like, brutal. Brutal. And again,
you should extend that to any time Wonder Man's died. He's never died though.
No, and again, no build up. It's like all of a sudden, hey, there's something happening in the sky. He goes up to save it. He's dead. Like, just it's bad. We're gonna give people a surprise. So they're talking about our book. Well, maybe they're gonna talk about how crappy it is. All right. What deaths should never have happened, Brad?
Well, Ted Kord. In my opinion, is a death that should never have happened. I never read it, but, you know, mostly because I refuse. But, you know, to me, the idea that Ted Kord died, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are fans of Ted Kord. Yeah, right. Yeah. And so anyways, Ted Kord, like the only, you know, after Dan Garrett, the only real Blue Beetle. Anyways, I like Ted Kord. I wish he hadn't died.
All right. Keith, who have you got?
I had Ted Kord on my list. I do like that story, but I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed that it mattered, and there was all this that went after it with the relationship between Booster and how they explored that in Booster's book. without saying the buzzword that I think I have to contribute to a swear jar if we say it on this week's podcast, now that they've retconned out all the whole huge just chunks of that, I don't know why. In the new 52, I don't know why Ted Kord's dead.
Just say it, Keith. Just say it. I didn't understand what you meant unless you say it. Honest to God. You danced around there so much. Just get out there and say it.
Now that they've retconned out so much of the Infinite Crisis storyline, I don't know why. Like, Ted died for something in Infinite Crisis, and then it had this huge impact on Booster's title. But now they were never in the Justice League together, so Ted's dead for nothing.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. No, I understand. You don't want to say that word. It starts with an F and ends with a 2. I get you. That's the one we're trying to avoid here.
No, New 52 is what I didn't want to say.
Yeah, that's right. Don't say that. Don't say New 52.
That's right.
All right. Ted Kord, but throw out your own then.
I do have one. And this one made me furious when I found out it happened. I wasn't reading the book that it happened in. Nomad. Nomad was killed by the Winter Soldier in one page. He was drunk in a bar. Winter Soldier killed him and put him in the trunk of a car. For a character that I loved so much, he had a comic book run in the, maybe about 90 or 91, I guess, by Nasiza. And I just really loved that character. I thought he had a lot of depth. I thought that the backstory
that
was interesting.
Good stuff.
And he was
now that you remember,
wasn't used enough.
Yeah, now that you bring that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I didn't feel he was used enough. And then he to go out with nothing to it. They dumped the character.
Didn't he have a kid kind of? There was a lone wolf and cub type of.
Yeah, that's pretty much what the front. It was a 25 issue run.
That was a unique take within our. That was a neat take within the Marvel Universe, and you're right, that actually was good stuff. And then it was Nizia, or however you know.
We're all guessing.
Yeah.
Nasiza.
Yeah, and it...
Sure. That actually, I'm good. I know that one. I got a translate. I got Nasiza.
Nasiza, okay.
That's what happened for me.
No, that's a good one. That shouldn't have happened. It certainly shouldn't have happened that way. Chris.
It so shouldn't have happened that... I forgot it happened. I love that run, but I completely forgot Nomad was dead.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. I mean, if it doesn't have any impact, then it never should have happened. So, Chris, throw out one.
Karen Page. She died in the first Kevin Smith run, or
Piece
only Kevin Smith run on Daredevil.
Oh.
And they just sort of threw her away, a character that we'd love... Loved forever.
Yeah.
True. She was a little stale at that point. She sort of played her role in that book for way too long. She needed to die, but she should have been able to, you know, last an issue in her death. Have some sort of story arc going on around it, but nothing.
Yeah, that's, and I'm going to get to my two here then. Martian Manhunter, a couple of mine here. Martian Manhunter and Superboy, and what Keith was talking about, the cottage industry of death. These guys are killed during these big events. And notice when we talked about all the best deaths, they were all really well done. They were isolated. They're important. They were built to as a general rule, even like a Fred Wilson, the fact that he was built to slowly, these deaths that just happen and they're among one of many events or happen quickly, they're the ones that are the fails. And that's why, I mean, if you're going to kill Martian Manhunter being killed should be a big deal, and it wasn't. That means it's a fail. Same with Superboy. So that's I'm just going to throw those two together. Brett, do you have any more you want to throw out there?
Nope.
Keith?
No, I'm just sad for thinking about these storylines that were handled so badly.
They really were. Chris, I have a couple more, but do you have any more?
No, I'm done.
Okay. Reed Richards is another one. Reed Richards was killed during a DeFalco run about the same time as Superman was killed, shortly after, like within a year or so. It took almost another year before comic book fans realized that this Fantastic Four was not selling great at the time. Realized that this character was technically dead and hadn't been around for a while. Now, he never was dead, but they portrayed it that way. And it's like, again, if it takes a year for people to realize that Mr. Fantastic is dead, you probably didn't do it well. Same thing with a character I'm going to say I wish had never died. You talk about Hawkeye earlier and how he died. I thought Hawkeye being married to Mockingbird gave him more a more interesting dynamic. This superhero couple, she's a character that's dead, that's not coming back. I don't think she ever should have died because I don't think Hawkeye's ever been as interesting since. Except for in the Ultimate Universe. He's one of the few characters who's better in the Ultimate Universe than the actual Marvel Universe. But there's a character that the ex-old, you know, I guess everybody forgets. Hawkeye's a widow. So anything you guys want to say on mine here?
A widower?
A widower, whatever.
Well, isn't she back?
I don't think so.
I believe she is. Does she came back and know the whole Skrull thing?
It is if she is, then, again, she never should have died. It's possible she's back. I would have missed it. All right, let's go to, then let's talk about who never should have come back. Brett, who never should have come back who's been killed?
Well, there's really only one person on my list in this case.
I have a few.
Now, it's a fantastic, fantastic death. But man, oh man, the Green Goblin, Norman Osborn,
yep.
Never, ever, ever, ever should have come back.
Brett, how about the fact that
you know, it's what
I'm not sure if you're familiar with this. He's come back, but in his coming back, his son, who never should have been killed, actually, Harry should have gone in the never should have been killed. But now they've said that Harry being killed, that never happened either because Norman faked that death in the entire thing. So now they're both back. So just go ahead. Now that I wasn't sure if you were familiar with that or not, were you?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just it becomes a why not at that point. I mean, I've read the stuff with Norman Osborn, and again, it all comes back to that same Gwen Stacy element, like the fact that she had kids with Norman Osborn, yada yada, blam blam blam, like this. This just makes me weep outright because this is such a horrendous storyline.
You're pissing on the character's legacy, is what you're doing.
Yeah, it totally is. Especially Gwen Stacy. And, like, I mean, I really love the Green Goblin as a villain. And when the Green Goblin did die in those issues, in those two issues, you know, it was an awesome, awesome thing. I mean, it's not like Kraven, but. You know, it was just really cool to see that happen.
You didn't see a major villain die like that. I mean, that was a big deal. And then in the worst handle, we should have died, or in the worst handle, we didn't bring up the Harry Osborn, but they were trying to recreate that great moment of his father dying with him dying, and they screwed it up royally. So it's just horrible. Harry never should have come back. God damn it.
But just so much has come from that.
Because nothing means
that
anything
is
anymore.
So bad wrong.
Keith, go ahead, please.
There are so many on this list. I don't even know where to start. Bucky.
But that was all. I think you might have some arguments on this one.
I don't give a crap. To me, Bucky was always one of the untouchable characters. That it informed Captain America too much. In the same way that bringing Uncle Ben back would screw up Spider-Man irrevocably, I feel that's Bucky. And I think that that's why they killed Nomad, is that they had to erase that extra Bucky that could have been Winter Soldier. Just to just ice that right out of the storyline that, no, it is really the original Bucky. It's not Nomad. It's not Jack Monroe. So we're going to kill him in one page so that you know that it's not, we're not trying to fool you with that.
Chris, do you have anything to say on that?
Well, I love the Winter Soldier, but I have to agree with Keith. They could have brought in a Winter Soldier differently. He didn't have to be Bucky. Hell, he could have been Nomad. I wouldn't have had a problem with that. Marvel has had always said Bucky was one of the untouchables, and I kind of wish they kept the rule and kept to that rule.
There was a point where I think it was Hero Magazine many years ago. Bob Harris was the editor-in-chief, and somebody asked him, who's the characters that will never be brought back? And he said, Bucky. And they said, well, who else? He said, Bucky. They said, what about Captain Marvel? He said, Bucky. And he said, that's it. That's the character. That was under his decree. That was the one character. That was the one character that will never be brought back. Which is why I actually didn't mind it, because A, it was really well done. It was an interesting character, and nobody saw it coming. But, Brett, what do you have any thoughts on Winter Soldier / Bucky?
Well, you know, again, I do really like the storyline, and I do think that it was interesting. I remember when I was reading it thinking, Bucky? Oh, really? Oh, did it have to be Bucky? I think I would have been happier probably if it was somebody else, but, you know, ultimately because it's well done, I'm not going to put it on the list.
I will say this about Bucky / Winter Soldier. If that hadn't happened and it hadn't been well done, because of Bucky, Winter Soldier coming back and it going the way it did, that's probably the reason why we had Jason Todd, Red Hood come back. Like, I can't help but tie these things in. Do you guys see what I mean? Y'all get my point, right?
Yes, but one of them was well done.
Well, actually, did you read the Red Hood storyline by Judd Winnick? Because I thought it was fantastic.
I read the early stuff when he, like, I read the early Red Hood books.
Okay.
I don't remember who wrote them, but yeah, and I still say
that. No, and that's my feeling on Bucky is that, yes, a good writer's going to write a good story. Not everything that can be told should be told.
Yeah. All right, well, but yeah, wouldn't you say, isn't Jason Todd the Bucky of DC?
Well, now I have to mark that off my list for the second round.
Well, no, go ahead, talk about it. No, don't mark it off. Talk about that's on your list. Go ahead. We're jumping right over Brett. We're going right to you and Jason Todd because I know this is a sore point for you.
I think I have the same feeling, and I should have looked it up before now. But I know there's this great Jim Starlin quote that I think ended up on the trade paperback that it would just be in such poor taste to bring back Jason Todd because the story was so poignant and it just worked and it meant something. It did inform that character it informed Batman for so long. Everything about Tim Drake comes out of that relationship. The whole relationship between Batman and Tim Drake is about that Jason Todd died. And it affects Dick Grayson's character who played that game for so long and never got hurt. And it just, because it meant so much. And I don't feel that the gimmick, and this is the same spot that Bucky is, the gimmick of that didn't ultimately pay off into anything. I don't think that Jason Todd being around now is worth having had that storyline for a few months.
And
Bucky's dead again, isn't he? Isn't Bucky already dead again?
Possibly.
He's still Captain America.
I thought he was dead.
He's not Captain America now, anyways. That much.
No, Steve Rogers is back.
Yeah.
No, Steve Rogers is back, but he's Steve Rogers running S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't know. I need Marvel Point One.
My God. Okay, so I'm going to disagree with you on this perspective. I don't think it changes how it affected Dick Grayson or Tim Drake or Batman because they didn't bring him back and make him the same guy. They brought him back, and it's a continuation of his character into a more evil, vigilante character and an opposite of Batman. I don't think it ruined the poignancy of that storyline. I think that the fact that this is now a tragic character who's come back and is so angry and feels like he was betrayed by Batman, so to me, this doesn't ruin the character. So this is where I disagree, but we'll just agree to disagree on this one, especially since you're wrong. Brett, go ahead.
You know, actually, after the Green Goblin, I didn't...
Nothing.
I saw so much red with that one, or green. But, you know, so Keith, why don't you just run down
Keith,
your list?
Actually, let's just give Chris one more shot here, and then Keith
okay. can run down.
How about a first shot?
Yeah.
Chris hasn't had a turn at all.
Chris, how about a double shot then?
Get mine.
Well, no, I'm only going to take one shot because I can already feel Mo's hands around my throat because he's going to kill me on this one. I do not believe Hal Jordan should ever have come back. He was a white bread character. He's been overused for years. I thought they should. They could have done every storyline they've done since he's come back with Kyle or any of the other Green Lanterns. Really, I don't think Hal Jordan adds anything to the mix. I hated his death, but he should have stayed dead.
The only reason to bring him back is because they did blow it with the character. Because when they screwed it up, when we had this continuity death entropy going on here, you might as well bring him back because it didn't work anyways. But it's not even about me. It's one thing that, and they said this about Barry Allen. Barry Allen died. There was an uproar. Bring him back, bring him back, bring him back. And it went away. After like 2-3 years, it went away. After like 12 years with Hal Jordan, it didn't go away. That was the issue. People never stopped saying, we want Hal Jordan back. And part of that was because they kept on in some way or matter, some form or matter, bringing him back. For instance, there was a storyline where the young Hal Jordan met the Kyle Rayner in the future and that type of thing. But that was the issue with Hal Jordan. It never took. Barry Allen took. Hal Jordan never took. Hal Jordan, I think, never should have been killed, probably, except for the fact that then we wouldn't have got Kyle Rayner. And I like Kyle. That's the issue here. Anybody else have any comments on that?
Well, it's interesting you mention Barry because but as much as I don't like that they brought Barry Allen back, I went back and forth with him on this category because when Wolfman wrote Crisis, he expected Barry Allen to come back very quickly, and he said that he wrote a backdoor to how Barry died, yes, in Crisis,
in the trade
that it would
back.
Be easy to bring him back.
In the trade paperback, yeah. He said, if you corner me somewhere all by yourself and ask me about it, I might tell you how. He actually said that. He actually said, this is how
he built
bring
in
back.
A way.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, because he expected it to be something you could get out of. And I think that's the problem with Hal, is that they destroyed that character. Like, he didn't die. I mean, if he had just died in Final Night, without everything, all the Emerald Twilight and everything leading up to it. But for him to have murdered all of most of the Lanterns, to have murdered all of the Guardians, to have decimated the Green Lantern Corps, stolen all the power for himself, gone completely insane, they just, over the course of several years after Emerald Twilight, kept hitting this character and making him more and more evil, where he was, until he became Parallax in Zero Hour, and, tried to destroy the entire universe, trying to recreate Coast City. He wanted to start time over again so that the Coast City would be
but
okay.
But at least then he wasn't totally evil. At least you could see, at least they finally actually, when he's killing all the Green Lanterns, he's mad because he doesn't get to do what he wants to do. It's like he throws a hissy fit. Whereas when he was Parallax, at least it was, if I have enough power that I can go back in time, I can fix this so those Green Lanterns weren't killed. I can fix this so Coast City didn't happen. I can fix this so Superman never died. I can fix it all. So at least there was a heroic but twisted, like it's like the idea of the villain has a point of view. You don't agree with it, but at least you can see that he believes he's right. And that's what they did right when he was Parallax. But at that point, even then, fans were pissed off. So then it's like, well, let's give him a heroic death. And they just blew everything up. So, and I'm going to say, I have Barry Allen on my list of guys that never should have been brought back because his death did mean more and because Wally did take off. Like you said, there was no clamor to bring him back. I mean, I was a Barry Allen fan. But the Flash 275 through 350 that built to his death was one of the great all-time 75-issue runs. And then he died. And at that point, you almost felt, it was almost like, man, thank God he died. His life was such hell. Like, there was almost something to it, and he died like a hero. So, I mean, I think he's a character that never should have been brought back. I'd have him in that list. Any more for you? I guess, Chris, that was your only one?
Yep, that was the one I wanted to hear your guys' opinions on. Although, you guys are focusing on the death still. I'd like to know if you thought he should be brought back or should have been kept dead.
No, he shouldn't have.
What has he done since?
Because it didn't work. Because the fans never stopped, like I said, because the fans never, ever stopped clamoring for it back, and because it wasn't well done, there was always the bad taste, the sour taste in people's mouths. The only thing you could do was bring him back, and next time you kill him, and being DC, it will happen. Next time you kill him, do it right. Keith,
and keep him dead.
Keith, your opinion? Should have stayed dead?
Yeah, I'm ready to have him die again. In a very heroic, important way, whatever you need.
Yeah. How about you, Brett? Should he have stayed dead?
As far as I'm concerned, you should have stayed a villain.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're going to do it, then just go with it. Just let him stay with whatever he is. Don't do all this, don't do all this backstepping, backpedaling bullshit. And the Spectre was the worst decision of all. Terrible.
Yeah, I loved him as Parallax, and that's it.
Okay. Two more I'm going to throw out there. Metamorpho. There's a character that never should have been brought back. Metamorpho is another character that died, and they gave him a funeral in the DC universe where basically, like, nobody showed up. Like, Superman showed up and, like, nobody else. And I'm like, that was poignant because Superman's like, this guy died saving the world, and he's a B character and nobody even knows. And it was really well done. It was like, he was more important in that death if they had been able to capitalize it than he was in real life. But also, who cares if this character's brought back? Let somebody stay dead. And if it can't be, if Metamorpho can't stay dead, they are bringing back all the guys. And then the one that pisses me off the most, issue 400 of Spider-Man, they finally killed Aunt May. I was like, thank God. I cannot stand that itty-bitty bitch. I cannot stand her. She's always whining. She's always all about me. She's just, they've actually given more depth to her character in the movies than they did ever in the comic books. And the comic books, just an annoying, always sick, just stupid drain. Not to mention, if characters don't grow old, if characters don't die, if this doesn't let the character of Spider-Man evolve, if none of this happens, what the hell's the point of these universes? You gotta have a point to this stuff. You gotta have history because that's what gives them depth. So Aunt May, I couldn't believe. Who cared? Who was clamoring for Aunt May to come back? Why the hell? I hate her. She's my most hated character ever brought back. She's the Jason Todd of Mole.
I think the worst thing about Aunt May coming back is the fact that they wound up making her younger.
Oh.
Over time. Like, she actually grew younger, and she grew to be, like, you know, so less whiny, less sick and stuff like that. So she's just one more person who's there. And so she's not even this source of, like, an issue other than the fact that, like, oh, man, you know, if somebody learns my identity, they're going to kill Aunt May. You know, they should. But, you
know. Yes. Aunt May. And wasn't that both issue 400 and they tried to give her this poignant death where she revealed that she had known all along that Peter Parker was Spider-Man? She knew all along. Horrible. What a horrible death. So it was terrible. And this was Demetrius, so you expect more from. And I think vaguely. But this was a terrible death. And then bringing her back, I think it was actually that it wasn't actually her. It was some energy life force or something like that pretending to be hers. Something stupid or a robot. I don't know what the hell it was. It was stupid, too. Keith, anything on Aunt May?
Oh, my God. I love that you call Aunt May a bitch. I'm trying not to laugh into the mic so that everyone can hear what you're saying, but oh, my God. Oh, that's one of those. When I started reading Spider Island and she's in it, I'm like, who's this now? And she's like 40. What is this going to be Aunt May? And she's married, and oh, my God.
Is Peter Parker like 30 now?
I don't know if I can do this. Okay, I got to power through. Spider Island's such a good storyline, but powering through the mess of continuity that Spider-Man is right now. Digging through. I have one that...
Oh, go ahead.
I don't even know if everyone may know that he's back. Did you know Kraven's alive again?
Oh, I know. Yeah. Actually, I forgot all about that. They brought... Talk about pissing on the grave. You pissed on the grave of Demetrius. I don't think he's dead yet. You pissed on his grave. Bringing back Kraven. Why would you bring back the best death villain ever? Why ruin it? That's the thing. They just can't.
And for nothing.
They can't help themselves. They just can't help themselves.
There's no compelling reason to bring the character back.
No, well, remember they tried to give, like, his son to... They were like, oh, man, this character's gone. We really miss him. And then they gave, like, his son his role, and then that didn't work, so it was real, did not really be his son. I think they had some woman, Craven. Same thing with Dr. Octopus, died in the same issue as Aunt May. So then they had a woman Dr. Octopus for a little while, because they can't not have a Dr. Octopus, and, you know, we gotta give her make a hot young woman in there, that'll up sales. Like, Chris, how are you doing over there?
I'm agreeing with everything you're saying. That and wondering, I've never read the Metamorpho storyline. Where did that take place?
I think he died during Final Night. I think it was actually in the middle of the miniseries he died. And same with the
funeral. Oh my god, so he died twice in about 5 years?
Yeah.
Because he was dead in Outsiders too, because he came back in Invasion.
That's right. Actually, it might be where he
seems to have been dead about two or three times in 5 years.
I don't know. Oh, brutal, though. Brutal. All right, let's talk about then, when did death stop mattering, Brett? What was the death that ruined all the other deaths?
Well, I think that, I think you kind of brought it up earlier. I think it's probably the death of Superman. It was so big, and everybody knew that he was basically going to have to come back, that after that, people just wanted to make it a media occurrence. And so I think that there's this whole, or wholesale deaths, you know, and so I think that afterwards, you know, especially when you start looking like so much of, I mean, people started bringing back characters that had died like way long ago that were supposed to be untouchable after that, you know, everything. I mean, it's just the world just suddenly started opening up.
Either of you two, Chris or Keith?
Blue Devil. that was the point at which it for me, that's the point where it stopped even mattering how important it was in the story. And it was just about body count.
Yeah, but
it's you have a special event, someone has to die.
Chris, your thoughts?
Once again, Green Lantern. I mean, they took that, they tried to make an event. It didn't work. You knew he was coming back because everyone seemed to want him. It was the beginning of the end. It just, right there.
For me, it was, again, I agree with Brett. I think Superman. Superman, I kept on going, I think he's not coming back, but he probably has to. But there was always that doubt. I think no character who's died since then have I not thought he's coming back. Nothing has ever been no death. I've never thought that since. Okay, then Brett, my last thought to you is quickly, will they or can they ever matter again, deaths in comic books?
I think that the thing is that they can make great, poignant deaths. But the truth of the matter is that once the floodgates are open, you can't close them.
You can't trust them.
I mean, as long as you have the Norman Osborns that will come back, then until they start killing, like, there's always going to be a need to bring back a character in somebody's mind.
If they're
going to
bring back Raven, so, it's tough to emotionally invest in any death.
Yeah, I mean, I want to emotionally invest in good poignant deaths, but the truth of the matter is that I still have to expect that the character will return.
Keith, will or can they ever matter again?
Well, even editorial at Marvel at one point was saying, oh no, dead is dead now. We've changed the way that's going to be. And then, you know, Bucky came back and all these characters, and, you know, Osborn. I don't know even who. Bucky probably holds the record right now for the longest someone was dead and still got brought back.
Hey, didn't Valiant and the book Harbinger have a ad campaign? Somebody's going to die, and it'll stay dead. It'll matter. And that was years ago.
Well, that was Marvel's big idea, though, is that by keeping every, like, they say that they want to keep everybody dead. So in turn, before that, they're going to bring absolutely everybody back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that ultimately you can have good storylines. You can have poignant deaths. But it's not going to have the same. I mean, I knew that Superman was coming back. I mean, he's too big a property, you know, for various reasons. I mean, it was no big secret that he was coming back. But it was still a compelling storyline. It's, to me, it's not only how you lead up to it, it's how you lead out of it. If, you know, the character dies in the last page of the big giant event book, yeah, who cares? Congratulations, you made it through. Hey, you died in a Grant Morrison book. see you in 6 months.
Chris, your last thoughts.
I'm agreeing with what the other two guys are saying. However, I do think if we do have a character stay dead for a number of years, we could put a little bit more punch back into the death.
Like Kraven?
Have a sacrificial... Not Kraven, I'm thinking more along the lines of a Bucky, because that was always the thing before. When somebody died, he could be the next Bucky. He's not coming back.
Hey, remember when the Jackal died and he was brought back? let's see.
Yeah, I thought we all agreed never to mention Spider Clone Saga.
Yeah, that's worse than the 52.
I looked it up, by the way. I looked it up. Bucky is currently dead.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
He died in Fear Itself. Okay. But I believe the entry on Wikipedia says that he apparently died. So
yeah, exactly.
See you next year.
I'm going to wrap up. Will they or can they matter again? In my opinion, no and no. I look at Marvel's bad. I mean, don't get me wrong. Wolverine's died. Jean Grey, Cyclops, Professor X, I mean, Thor, Captain America. There's still characters that haven't died, major characters, right? Spider-Man's never died. Iron Man's never died. Daredevil did, but okay. But there still is some major...
And, of course, we didn't even mention Human Torch,
Invisible Woman, I think, is the one character that hasn't died over there. But it's not as bad as DC. DC's the worst. If you look at the core characters that would form the Justice League, Superman, he's died. Batman, he's died. Wonder Woman, she's died. Green Lantern, Guy Gardner, Hal Jordan, and even Kyle Rayner have at one point died. Even though Kyle Rayner was for one issue. Aquaman died. Hawkman died. Martian Manhunter died. They've done it with every character already. There is every... Lex Luthor's died. Doomsday's died. Ra's al Ghul's died. The only main character in the entire universe who you go as a core property that hasn't died is probably the Joker. And that maybe is what's happening in this frickin' storyline going on right now. DC is the worst. And deaths will never matter again because they've already killed every single major property they have and brought them back to life. Guys, Brett, any last thoughts?
Yeah, there is actually one storyline that nobody dies, but I actually thought it was almost like a death, and it's the Avengers mansion takeover by the Masters of Evil. I thought it was a really good story, and I thought to a certain degree it impacted the Avengers and their storylines for, you know, to this day, and it was almost like a loss of innocence for the Avengers, and so I just kind of wanted to mention that.
Okay, that's good stuff, Brett. Keith, your thoughts?
One last book that we didn't talk about as well is Identity Crisis.
Oh yeah,
which I know it's got its lovers and haters, not a lot in the middle, but it was again, you know, the same as I was saying with Gwen Stacy, taking a character that was off limits, that was she's a civilian. She was in those books for so long, you know, she was in the Justice League Europe, but for Sue to be killed and then, you know, this really amazing mystery story come out of it.
Okay, and Chris, last thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think DC's really screwed the pooch, bringing everybody back in Blackest Night. It really, really took a lot of punch out of the death thing.
Well, I mean, at least Aquaman died, so Brett was happy for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys, why don't you just...
Good times.
Give out your... I'm going to do the final sign-off, I think, on this episode, so why don't you give out your Twitter and contact information. Any last things you want to plug, Brett?
Okay, well, it's Brett_WeTalk. I'm gaining slowly. You know, that's the Twitter. Brett@WeTalkPodcast.com. We just finished day one of shooting for the cosplay documentary that we're working on. Things are going great. Looking forward to moving on that. Looking for more fun with that. And I guess we're moving on.
Keith, any last contact information and plugs?
All right. On Twitter, CubReporterK, and email Keith@WeTalkPodcast.com. And I'm also writing right now for thecorrectnest.com, which is having its action smackdown. And I'm helping Brett out with Cosplayer, which is looking to be a lot of fun.
Chris.
Okay, Anna.
Go ahead. Yeah, please.
I'm Chris at WeTalkPodcast.com. No plugs this week.
No plugs any week. And I'm Mo. I'm Mo underscore WeTalk on Twitter. That's M-O, no E on it. And you can reach me at Mo@WeTalkPodcast.com. I really want to hear your guys' deaths, your feedback on this. Get a hold of us. Let us know on Twitter. Otherwise, and we're going to read some of those on the next episode. I want to give a shout-out to a couple of the shows, Thwipping Boys, as well as to Fanboy Power Hour, a couple of the podcasts. I'd like you guys to try to check out if you enjoy comics. I want to say hello to @ScottKowalczyk. You'll find him on Twitter as well. He's an artist we recently interviewed. We'll have that coming up in an upcoming episode. He's a young artist. He's been in the business about 6 months, and he's going to be huge in this industry, guys. He's a great talent and a very interesting guy. And other than that, I'm going to mention that we have more podcasts coming up. The long-awaited review of the life of singer-songwriter Janie Lane is still coming. So we're really good, looking forward to giving you guys a lot more great contact and content, not contact. Well, I'll give a few of those to some of you, too, maybe. Finally, I'm just going to say Aunt May's a bitch, O-U-T.